O God, our mighty fortress, our bulwark never failing, our helper amid the flood of mortal ills, move our hearts to be strong in your might and to put on your whole armor. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Kentucky Christian Knights. My college mascot was a knight, chosen from our Ephesian passage about putting on the whole armor of God. I'm not sure how having a bunch of knight's armor helps you play better basketball, baseball, or volleyball, but whatever. Most mascots don't make any sense anyway. This passage is so familiar because it is so memorable, relatively easy to understand, and meant to encourage. But too often, we approach this passage in too much isolation from the rest of the book of Ephesians and from the rest of the Bible. We do this with many passages. And what we can do is run a risk of turning this passage on putting on the full armor of God into a pep rally. Go, 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 you mighty knights! Beat, beat, beat those ugly demons! But a pep rally mindset about this passage isn't good enough. It doesn't take the reality of spiritual warfare seriously enough. Remember the line from A Mighty Fortress Is Our God? For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. When the flaming spiritual arrows of the evil one come flying at us, and they do come flying at us, the pep rally doesn't work anymore. There are flaming arrows of Satan flying into my life, and it feels like everything is falling apart, so stop cheering, go, go, go. I'm not a mighty knight. I'm sad and scared. I need help. The solution to getting past the pep rally thinking from Ephesians 6 is Ephesians 1 through 5 and the rest of Scripture. In the first five chapters, we heard about how God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He adopted us as his beloved children. In Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. We have been saved by grace through faith, not because of our works, but simply by his gracious gift. Remembering and believing these truths starts to get us to a better place than a pep rally with Ephesians 6 and the full armor of God. What hobby or activity did you enjoy as a kid or a teenager? Did you have a dream to become a pro athlete or a pro musician? I wanted to be in the NBA. After that, I wanted to be a famous grunge rocker. And after that, I wanted to be a pro skateboarder. What if I had had the richest parents in the world? And what if one day they came to me and said, John, we see how much you love to skateboard and know that you're dreaming about becoming a pro someday. So we're going to build you the best skate park in the world, right here at home. We're going to buy you the best equipment, the best boards. Every time one breaks, you get a new one. We're going to get you connected with all the best pros like Tony Hawk, and you're going to go to all the best events, everything you need. What do you think? And then what if I responded this way? No thanks, Mom. No thanks, Dad. I'm just afraid that I won't be good enough to make it to the pros, and you'll be disappointed in me. I'm afraid you won't love me. Then they respond, Son, you are our son. We will never stop loving you. It doesn't matter to us if you turn pro. We just wanted to give you everything you needed because we love you so much. Jesus gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God, and he caused us to be blessed with every spiritual blessing, including the full armor of God. If you are afraid you won't wear the armor well, listen to these words from the 17th century pastor William Grinnell, who, by the way, wrote 261 chapters in a book called The Christian Incomplete Armor, thinking about this passage. So if I haven't said enough by the end of this message today, you've got 261 chapters. You can also go find Tim Keller's 20 sermons on this passage from Ephesians 6. William Grinnell wrote, "Perhaps you are discouraged when you see so many strong ones pass you on the way to glory. Rather than cry after them, be thankful that you have strength to run it all. Even the lowest place in the army of saints is a great honor. Are you in the race? It is by God's grace and that alone. Thank him for the privilege. Remember this, everyone, even the weakest saint who finishes the race is a winner." Also remember what Paul wrote to the Romans. "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." God didn't give you armor to test your strength and see if you're a mighty enough warrior to join him in battle. Remember the other line from Martin Luther's hymn, "Did we in our strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side. Christ Jesus, it is he." He gave you armor for your protection and good from our ultimately defeated but still flailing and dangerous spiritual enemies. He gave you the armor and calls you to put it on because he loves you. Have you been baptized into Christ? Then you are his beloved son. You are his beloved daughter. As Paul wrote to the Galatians, "In Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many as you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." When the flaming arrows of the evil one were flying at Martin Luther, he was reported to have often retorted, "I am baptized. I am baptized. I am baptized." God has given you his full armor because he loves you. The Gentile Ephesians would have been very familiar with these Roman soldiers and their armor. Paul and the Jewish Christian Ephesians would have also been familiar not only with these Roman soldiers, but with the Old Testament imagery of God and his armor. In Psalm 91:4, we read that God's faithfulness is our shield. In Isaiah 59:17, God puts on his breastplate of righteousness and helmet of salvation to bring justice against evil. In Psalm 7, it says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped." Isaiah 11:1 through 5, speaking of the Lord Jesus, "There shall come forth a root from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his root shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eye sees, or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt at his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins." This is why St. Jerome could write, "From what we read of the Lord our Savior throughout the Scriptures, it is manifestly clear that the whole armor of Christ is the Savior himself. It is he whom we are asked to put on. It is one and the same thing to say, put on the whole armor of God and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our belt is truth and our breastplate is righteousness. The Savior is also called both truth and righteousness. So no one can doubt that he himself is that very belt and breastplate. On this principle, he is also to be understood as the preparation of the gospel of peace. He himself is the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation. He is the sword of the Spirit because he is the Word of God, living and efficacious, the utterance of which is stronger than any helmet and sharp on both sides. Because of God's love for us in Christ, because he is our armor, we confidently, joyfully, thankfully, and prayerfully put on this full armor of God, Jesus, our strength and righteousness.